What up? What it is? What's popping, everybody? It's the neighborhood nice guy, K-Dot, and welcome to a special episode of Keeping It 9450, codename WBB. Listen, we have a very special guest, and we're going to talk about WNBA coverage, basketball, the consistency, how detailed, what the culture is like, and none other than the big dog of the W lead and the lead. We have Tanner J in the building. He is the engine behind the lead and the W lead, which is their WNBA rendition of the overall platform, the lead. And when we talk about turning casual fans into diehards, trust me, if you go to the site and if you engage with the site, you already know why. Tanner J, my guy, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely. So I'm going to get right into it, and we're going to start from the top. So I always want to ask fellow journalists, fellow creators, your origin story. So, what was the origin story behind you leading the Leeds WNBA section even before getting into the league as a website and a platform as a whole?
So I've loved sports since I was 7, waking up watching NFL Network, SportsCenter at 5 a.m. before school. My mom would come and wake me up, and I'd be in the other room, and she wouldn't know. I tried basketball and football, and my claim to fame is being the go-to option on my junior high D team basketball team. No A there. I wasn't the best basketball player. I would write articles here and there after high school, but nothing was ever seen. I didn't get much engagement. So instead of looking for engagement, I kind of switched my outlook on that, and I just wrote for fun about anything that was happening in sports while I worked my construction jobs, delivered appliances. And it was around that time that my son was unfortunately diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. I have type 1 diabetes, and I was diagnosed at 6 years old. And I had a talk with my wife telling her I don't want to be a delivery man for the rest of my life. I want to do something I'm passionate about, and that's sports. So we talked, and I started submitting my articles to various places. Thankful for X platform for giving young aspiring journalists me the platform to reach out to the correct people. As of June, I've been working delivering liquor full time to support my family. And then on the side, I create content for the lead. I would be nowhere without Logan, Max, and Eric. They're kind of the leaders of the lead. And now I'm just building my resume, writing features on WNBA and NBA media members, assistant coaches. I just had one with Zach Bunsik of the LA Sparks. That was pretty cool. Just trying to build those connections for the future. I'm also the social media content manager for the Ravens lead. I enjoy doing that. Hopefully we can get on a run here coming up. And I'm just having a blast interviewing, conversating with people whom I've actually seen on TV. It's kind of a pinch me moment every day I wake up. I'm fascinated by stories, development stories. So Nikola Jokic, Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming College, first coming out of JUCO, Brock Purdy story. Those stories fascinate me, the development, and I hope to create my own story in the sports journalism media space.
That's awesome. And I like that you talked about engaging and bringing out the stories of athletes. So, in particular, for the women's basketball scene, what pulled you into this world? Because I can tell you, this for me has always been kind of like in my wheelhouse. I've been taught the game by many different women. So I pretty much have a different background as you, just from a sports standpoint. So for you, what intrigued you to hone in to the women's basketball side of things? And what was your biggest inspiration to say, hey, women's basketball is something that really, really intrigues me, and I want to also be a part of it and begin writing and telling the stories of these fascinating athletes?
Well, the skill level, the athleticism, it's unbelievable. And Maya Moore, she was amazing, and she's the first person that really made me fall in love with the game. I just thought her play style was absolutely everything you could want in a basketball player. She could do it at both ends. She was so smooth with everything she did. Her 2014 season was incredible. The skill level of these talents is off the charts, and I can't wait to keep covering it.
Yeah, I like that you talk about the skill level because I always have this thing where I say women's basketball still is and remains the purest form of the game, from a skill level standpoint. They may not play above the rim per se, but when you also look at that has also changed from a dynamic standpoint when you have some of these amazing athletes playing now. So you talk about Maya Moore, and Maya Moore is such a fascinating story. And you said that Maya Moore introduced you to the game and made you fall in love with it. What part of Maya Moore's game really fascinated you? And if you don't mind me asking, do you think I'm being very, very hot take-ish right now and very, very biased right now? Because Maya Moore is considered, one of the greatest, what to you in her game that you've seen that not only fall in love with the women's game, but also makes you think that she's, one of the greatest players to ever touch a basketball?
She could score at all three levels, mid-range, drive to the hoop. She had every move, every step back in the book. She hit the three at a high level, defended at a high level. I believe she was all defensive team at twice. I don't know if the second or the first, but she definitely made two all defensive teams, five-time all WNBA. She was just incredible. And it's not only just that. It's her off the court as well. Her advocating for her husband, it kind of speaks to not only how she played as a player, but also who she is as a person. And I believe that kind of trumps everything when it comes to falling in love with the sport, the
Yeah, I
character of the players as well.
absolutely. You hit the nail on the head because again, when we're talking about the game, right? There's a lot of nuances to the on-court things that we see, but there's also tons of off-court nuances that we also talk about. And the WNBA in particular, in women's basketball in particular, has always been been at the forefront for not only social justice, but just overall justice as a just as a whole. And I think that I definitely agree with you, Tanner, when you talk about Maya Moore and her advocacy for social justice and the example of her now husband, Jonathan Irons, and being on the forefront and getting his conviction overturned and all of that made it incredible. And for her stepping up and saying, I'm going to step away from the game to make sure that we're not just talking the talk, we're going to walk the walk as well. So that's so fascinating that you have also been someone that's been intrigued by what Maya Moore has done both on and off the court. And continuing, and we're going to talk more on the court because we had an incredible 2025 WNBA season. But one last thing I do want to ask you from an off-the-court standpoint, and this might be a fun moment. Are you familiar with WNBA Twitter?
I mean, I am WNBA Twitter.
So it's so crazy how, of course, we are a part of WNBA Twitter. But I want to talk about that instance of it just briefly because this is something that we've seen a lot when it comes to off the court things. And this is what makes the WNBA exciting. When you have WNBA Twitter, and there's always a sports Twitter, there's NFL Twitter, there's NBA Twitter, there's MLB Twitter. I've seen it all. But there is something unique about WNBA Twitter that has always been incredibly funny to me. So let's keep it a buck. I'm pretty sure you're in a number of group chats. And is there ever a case from a W Twitter standpoint where you've been in a group chat and someone has said, "Hey, did you see what so and so tweeted today? Or did you see what happened today?" And that's now the topic. We're used to what they call on Twitter messy Mondays. And I don't know why it happens on a Monday, but for some reason, there's always something, always a story that occurs on a Monday. So, has there been a case where you've been a part of a WNBA Twitter when there's been a hot topic and you're in your group chat or you're thinking about certain things, or you're saying, okay, do I want to make this out of a story? Or, nah, I'm gonna just leave it alone. This is just gonna be a regular day on WNBA Twitter. What's your mindset when you're thinking about different storylines for the website? And do you utilize WNBA Twitter to help as motivation for some of those stories? And not for it to be what we call messy Mondays, or not for it to be messy, but just something in a productive light for your readers to read and understand.
I'm always looking at what the best journalists have to offer on X, on all the platforms. I'm always looking at their reels, making sure I am dotting my I's, crossing my T's, making sure it's professional, making sure that I don't have misinformation, inaccuracy. So yeah, that's very important. I'm sorry, what was your other question?
So when it comes to the stories themselves, right? Is sometimes WNBA Twitter your inspiration to write certain stories? Or is it just more so, listen, I'm going to be in the moment and I'm not going to use the moment, if that makes sense.
Most of the time, it's about what's happening within the WNBA news. All that other stuff is a lot of joking around, and I might include a quote here and there, but most of the time, that stuff stays behind the scenes. So, yeah.
I 1000% agree with you there, Tanner, because again, when we talk about certain things, and that also talks about the culture of the WNBA. It's a unique culture, and it's so unique that it's different from other sports cultures, and that's fine. And I think that's a lot of misconceptions about the fans of the WNBA and the fans of women's basketball. Sometimes it's just incredibly different from other leagues, and that is okay. Everything doesn't have to be cookie cutter. And what you're doing with W Lead is always amazing, fascinating. So going into the basketball part of it, the 2025 WNBA season was an incredible season. We can say that the WNBA champion was not who a lot of people thought it would be. However, the WNBA champion, Las Vegas Aces, was still, to me, a contender for this year, even with the bumps in the road that they occurred in the beginning of the season. And they incredibly turned their season around, going on a 16-game regular season winning streak to end the regular season and winning, I believe it was 17 or 18 straight overall. I want to say it was a 17 straight overall, because they did lose
To the storm, yeah.
to the Storm. So let's talk about the WNBA champions just briefly. From a basketball mindset, what did you see from the Las Vegas Aces this year that made you say, "Oh my God, I wanted to believe that they would be champions, and then I didn't believe that they weren't going to be champions after they started." But then once they got their rhythm going, and especially after that 53-point loss in August, early August, to the Minnesota Lynx, what made you think, "Oh my God, I think they can do it. I really, really think they can do it"?
The cohesiveness, the chemistry that was built when they were all scouting their own reports after that 53-point loss to the Minnesota Lynx. They brought the whole team together and they started scouting how they were doing And from there, with an Alissa Smith coming over, just progressed from there. And the cohesiveness of the big three who have they played with each other for, I believe, 5 years now. And then the 7 years for the dynamic duo, Wilson and Young. Chelsea Gray, Jackie Young, Wilson dominated. And the IQ of Gray makes all that happen, the pace that she generates. She's one of the best court mappers in the WNBA. She knows where her teammates are going to be before they even do. The long passes to A'ja Wilson, catching them for open layups, easy baskets in transition. Those are all igniters for the offense and deflators for the defense. It's just cohesiveness, chemistry, and that's kind of what Phoenix Mercury lacked because Alyssa Thomas came over this year, this past year, and she was kind of the engine, the triple-double queen, all that. But there wasn't much chemistry. Sabali came over. They just need more experience. They need more chemistry, and they probably work with that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. It was a dynamic where we talked about the Phoenix Mercury, and I would be incredibly transparent, Tanner. I thought that the Phoenix Mercury would for sure be a top six team in the league. I did not anticipate the Phoenix Mercury being a top three team in the league at the end of all of it. And they surprised not only myself, but they surprised the entire league. And that is to the credit of Alyssa Thomas, Kalia Copper, Coach Nate Tibbetts, and the rookies that spearheaded a lot of the bench production. I was very intrigued and very fascinated by how they were able to really fight their way to the finals. And they did it with precision, they did it with physicality. And I know that there were a lot of things in the matchups that they had. They went through a gauntlet. Let's be completely transparent. The Liberty in the first round, then you had the Minnesota Lynx in the second round. They went through a gauntlet. And respectfully, for them to go through that was very fascinating. When we talk about the dynamics of what you mentioned for the Las Vegas Aces, that core, the big three in Chelsea Gray, Jackie Young, and A'ja Wilson. I want to talk about A'ja just for a brief second because, from what I understand from your articles, I know that when A'ja's name is involved, there's going to be traffic, right? There's going to be traffic. It's a holiday sale, right?
She's gonna run
And
through
she's going to run through it, right?
it.
So, Tanner, I want to ask you throughout the season, we know that Nafisa Collier was preseason. Let's just get it out there. Preseason, everybody anticipated her to be most valuable player. Unfortunately, that did not happen due to injury. She missed 10 games. We know that your best ability is availability. And that's part of the reason not only she did not win the MVP, but A'ja Wilson went on a complete tear. And mind you, she was already above average in what her previous MVP seasons were in the beginning of the season. They just weren't winning, right? So when it comes to A'ja Wilson and her dominance in this league, what is one of the most fascinating things that you can say about A'ja Wilson, and do you think she has etched her name in the books as one of the greatest of all times in WNBA history? May it be top five, top three, top two, or actually the greatest? I'm egging you with that question, but what do you think about A'ja Wilson?
She's the GOAT. She is the absolute GOAT, in my opinion. Tattoo it, stamp it, send it, whatever you got to do. She's the GOAT. She's unbelievable. And that shot at such a pressured moment at 2.2 seconds, it was just story made. It was incredible. She's just incredible, man. I have no words. I mean, there's so many words for her greatness. It's overwhelming, really.
Yeah, I am right there with you. Sometimes the best speech is no speech when it comes to greatness. And I truly 1000% agree with you when it comes to the greatness of Asia Wilson. And along with her incredible teammates, obviously, you said something earlier about Chelsea Gray that was very intriguing. A court mapper. That is the first, honestly, and I've been in basketball for a very long time. That description of Chelsea Gray is probably the absolute most perfect description of a point guard that you can describe. So I want to ask you quickly about Chelsea Gray. She has been obviously in those conversations as one of the greatest point guards in the WNBA to do it, along with, of course, Sue Bird and others, Courtney Vandersloot. So what is it about Chelsea Gray's court mapping that intrigues you? And not only the court mapping, but the clutch gene. We know what
Oh
she did
yeah.
in 2022, right?
Yep.
So she left Earth in 2022. What does that say about how great Chelsea Gray is? You rank her amongst one of the greatest at her position.
She's definitely a top three point guard of all time. Court mapper, she sees the play before it's even happening. Her IQ is off the charts. She's absolutely incredible. Incredible shooter at the tops in the league for assists almost every year. She's amazing.
Another speechless moment. I can concur. There's a lot of things that we can say about those type of greats. And what I also want to talk about is how poised this Las Vegas team was throughout the entire playoff run. This was a magical run for the Las Vegas Aces. I know that, again, preseason, we know that they were contenders, but everybody, almost everybody, minus Las Vegas Aces fans and minus Asia Wilson fans, a lot of people had Liberty Links Part Two. And I think we can all agree that when it comes to the WNBA, it's incredibly difficult to repeat. The only teams that has done it has been the Houston Comets, the Los Angeles Sparks, and the Las Vegas Aces from a back-to-back standpoint. Right. So we can all agree that it's been extremely difficult to go back to back. We have dynasties, right? We have, of course, the Comets dynasty. We have the Detroit Shock dynasty. Yes, they didn't win it back to back, but they won maybe three of the five in their tenure. We have the Minnesota Lynx that won it every other year, starting in 11, if I'm not mistaken, 11, 13, 15, and 17. Right. So we have those type of dynamics. If you could go back to any era, right, from a dynasty standpoint, what, from your lens, what era would you choose and why would you choose that era? And before you go, I am going to go first, and you're going to call me the old man that yells at the cloud, because if I had a choice, I would go back to those Detroit Shock days when they won it in 2003, 2006, and 2008. Because I feel that for me, that era, I was in college, between high school and college in that era. And that was kind of, it was almost what we call the ghost era, because that was an era where the WNBA was trying to find their way without the backing of the NBA. And that was a pretty cold era. And what I mean by that is you saw coverage on two. They were never on really the flagship coverage for ESPN, or if you will, only when the playoffs started. And even when the playoffs started, they went back to ESPN2. And sometimes in the finals, you could only catch them in certain aspects of television. But I feel I grew up in an era where basketball was extremely tough and skilled, and you had to have a little blood on your jersey in order for a foul to be called almost. So the Detroit Shock was one of my favorite WNBA teams. It had the likes of a Swin Cash, Cheryl Ford, Deanna Tweedy Nolan, Plunette Pearson. Those were players that I looked up to as I was a basketball player myself, and especially with Tweedy Nolan. She had such great athleticism. She has great scoring prowess. She was what I consider a hooper, someone that you can put on the floor and not necessarily have to run a play for her because she had the feel for the game. She gave me those vibes of a Cynthia Cooper back in the day where she gets the ball in her hands and she just knew what to do with it, whether she was passing, scoring, or just making an incredible play. So the Detroit Shock era, early to mid two, for me was a really good era for me. Even though it was a somber era for the WNBA, it was a really good era for me because that was the era that taught me how to play basketball professionally. So if you had to choose an era, whether it be the dynasty of the Minnesota Lynx, whether it be the Candace Parker era, where she just came in and took the WNBA by storm, whether it be this current era where Asia Wilson is just completely dominating everywhere, or even if you go back to the OG days of the Houston Comets, what era would you think would fit your personality as of right now?
Probably Seattle Storm, Breanna Stewart days.
Oh, I didn't even mention them. I didn't even,
That,
and that is a great, great pick. That is a great pick, but elaborate on your decision.
well, first of all, I love anyone that comes out of UConn, and they were winning championships. Sue Bird, Breanna Stewart, they were dynamic duo, almost as if Asia and Chelsea Gray are now, or Jackie Young. And I feel that kind of catapulted the WNBA. Everyone says it's Caitlin Clark, it's Angel Reese because of the social media stuff. But I believe just everything that she could do on the court, kind of following Mai Moore, it kind of expanded the WNBA into what it is now. Her athleticism, her shooting, her unicorn ability on the court, able to do everything at her size, kind of what Asia is now, completely what Asia is. So yeah, that would probably be my favorite era of my life, at least.
That's very, very fascinating. We're talking about that 20 between that 2016, 2020 era where the
Yes.
Seattle Storm, obviously, they've always been a perennial powerhouse in the WNBA, especially with a Hall of Famer in Sue Bird that led the helm. And even in her earlier days when she had Lauren Jackson, Yolanda Griffith, and then when Swin Cash moved over into Seattle as well. They're, if I'm not mistaken, they're four-time champions. Well, Sue Bird is, but the Seattle Storm as a whole. When they drafted Breanna Stewart, and obviously we know Breanna Stewart as one of the greatest winners in NCAA women's basketball history.
Yes.
It was so, I already knew, honestly, that she would win a championship within her first 3 years. And if I'm not mistaken, she won it in her second year, 2018. So that's an accomplishment within itself. But Breanna Stewart is definitely one of one when it comes to her versatility, the way that she moves on the floor, how incredibly skilled she is. Her game is simply immaculate. I love the way that Breanna Stewart plays. She has done an incredible job after her tenure with the Seattle Storm, moving on to the New York Liberty and getting them a championship in 2024, being one of those leaders, and of course, being the 2023 WNBA MVP. So she incredibly has been such a pivotal piece to the WNBA and its history. So, Tanner, you have hit a lot of nails on the head when it comes to basketball. So before we get out of here, I want to give you some quick hitters. First thing that comes to mind, it doesn't have to be anything long, paragraph drawn out, but I have five of them for you. and don't give the PR safe answer. This is yes, this is a family show. However, we do want to be as transparent to our audience and to our fans as possible. So, ready to go?
I am. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. All right. So, very first thing that I want to ask you as a quick hitter, favorite player you've ever written about?
In any sport?
Let's try to keep it W
W.
based.
Okay.
Let's try to keep
Okay.
it W based.
Nafisa Collier. She's
Listen.
just got a lot to write about. So
Yeah,
you got that
Fee is
advantage with when you write about her, you have a lot to say. So.
that, yeah, obviously that great answer. Great answer. In your opinion, most underrated WNBA market.
WNBA market, what do you mean by that?
So what WNBA franchise,
Oh, yeah. Underrated. Ooh. Let's circle back on that one.
Okay, we can circle back on that one. So what is a storyline that you absolutely need to write about in 2026 for the 2026 WNBA
Ooh.
season?
So I was speaking to Zach Bunsik, the assistant coach for the LA Sparks, this recently. And he talked about that he gives his players to develop Rekia Jackson, Julie Ottoman, Julie Van Loo, Sarah Ashley Barker, Ray Burrell. I'm excited for that whole squad. They were one shot, not even game. They were one shot away from the WNBA playoffs, and they missed out because they got in over the Valkyries on that final night. And I'm just excited, man. A lot of promise this last season. And so this upcoming season, I'll be definitely paying attention to that squad.
All right. This is going to be a funny one. You might plead the fifth. A hot take that will get you in trouble on X.
Oh, Angel Reese goes to the Wings for th three picks. If the Wings get a really good pick, bound to be top eight. But if they get first or second, things with Paige. Be cool if Angel Reese left the Sky, who is a dysfunctional organization, forces with Paige and see what they can do next season.
Wow.
Don't at me. Don't at me.
All right. And finally, before we get to the question again, if you could greenlight any WNBA project, what are you creating? A project, show that you want to do, any type of collaboration to do with any player, anything, a WNBA project.
Okay. Probably the Hall of Fame. So interview the Hall of Fame, the next Hall of Fame class, some questions, and then write a feature about it. That'd be pretty sweet. Or start my own WNBA podcast. That'd be cool too.
That is always dope. All right, I can't leave without you giving me, in your opinion, the most underrated WNBA market. I'm gonna give you one. To me, is no question the Atlanta Dream market, and I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay.
There are tons of Atlanta Dream fans that I don't think a lot of WNBA enthusiasts really know about. And the reason why is because they're so in tune to their team and they have so much confidence in their team that I don't think they expressing it publicly a lot. But if you go at their team, oh, they come in hives. So you better speak nice. To that, you will be stung. But on top of that, I do believe that their governance, their ownership is very hands-on, very unique. I love the way that they've operated in the 2 to 3 years in trying to get dynamic players into a place where they can be contenders every year. I know it didn't go the way that they wanted to this year in the first round once again, but I think that they are a market that is completely on the rise and continue the upward trajectory with Alyssa Gray, with Ryan Howard, and now with their second round draft pick, Tahina Pow-Pow. I think that they are good. And of course, with the acquisition of Jones, Karl Šmesko as a first year head coach, I mean, he did an incredible
Yeah.
job, incredible job. So I think to me, that's one of the most underrated WNBA markets.
I would probably say Connecticut Sun.
Good answer. Good answer, especially with what they're going through right now.
what they're building too. Yeah, so Sanaya Khan, she was amazing this season. Got a lot of good young players, bright future. Anissa Mabry's always been good. They got a bright future, and I'm excited for it.
Absolutely. So, Tanner, before we get out of here, I want to give you much love for coming through and just chopping it up with me. Make sure you plug all of your information and let everybody know where they can find you.
I just want to give some advice to first give some advice for anyone trying to break into the media space. Shoot your shot. Ask the Megan Halls of the world, the Tarika Fosters of the world, the Ayaan Deans of the world, and the Nikias Duncans. The questions you're wondering about this particular space, don't think that you're too underqualified to talk to them, because I did. And now I've interviewed half of those people I just mentioned. So yeah, just shoot your shot. And to piggyback off of that, don't be afraid to seek a mentorship from anybody in the space, and just be yourself, man. That's the most important thing in any walk of life, not just the media space. You can find me at WNBA Lead or my personal account, TJ Talking Ball 22. Thank you for having me, Kevin. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And we want to thank you for taking the time out to give us all of your insight and your analysis. And we really, really appreciate you, Tanner. You are a bright up and coming star in this space, and we want to continue that for you. So we really, really appreciate it. So if you guys were listening and haven't tapped in to the Leeds WNBA coverage, make sure you fix that today and make sure you follow right now. And with that being said, this has been Keeping It 9450, codename WBB. I am your host, Kevin K. Lewis. You can always follow me on all social media platforms at K.Lew3H. Make sure you stay tuned. I have my college show, Jump Ball and Study Hall, in the works. First episode will be out in the next couple of weeks. So make sure you stay tapped in. Like, subscribe, make sure you are following and supporting the platform. Leave a review. YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you consume your podcast, make sure that you like, subscribe, leave that review. Thank you all so much for your support. Once again, this has been Kevin K. Lewis, and that's my guy over there, Tanner J. We're out of here. Love is love. Peace.